okay, we have a ton of people just calling in at the last second, so we're going to wait just another minute or so.
We're good.
As everyone's logging in and being connected, I just want to let you know that you are here, you are in the conference call, but you are on automatic mute. I will unmute everybody at the very end when we do Q&A. So the only two that are unmuted is myself and Lisa, who is our guest today. And it's because of her testimony that she's sharing today that we're all here. So at the very end, I'll unmute everybody. That way we won't have any unnecessary background noise. Let me go and get started. Welcome to the conference call this Saturday morning. We are blessed to have Lisa join us today. She's our guest. She has her testimony of a restored marriage that she's going to share with us today. So we thank you, Lisa, for taking the time to share it. And mainly we thank God because God did it. So we'll get into that in a second. Let me go and do some housekeeping. Everyone's on mute until the very end of the Q&A. This conference call is being recorded, and it will be posted onto the website that I have that I manage all the restored marriage testimonials. If you're not familiar with the website, it's praisereports.org, praisereports.org. I will post this later today or tomorrow, the conference call, so that you can go back and listen to it again. Now, I do want to caution you. When you go to the website, I'm currently giving it a facelift, so there are parts that will just look very disconnected and distorted. But on the front page, down just a little bit, you'll be able to find a link towards the testimonials, or sorry, the conference calls. If you follow that link, you'll be able to follow it to where the conference calls are posted. I think I have conference calls going back to last year for about over a year and a half now. So you'll find a lot of other conference calls with other restored marriages posted there and other encouraging conference calls. So again, the website is praisereports.org. Again, it's under construction. Bear with me as I'm the one guy managing that website. And hopefully this weekend I'll be able to clean it up a lot. This conference call, usually we go about an hour and a half. It really depends on Lisa, who is joining us today, and how long she's willing to be on the phone with us in a conference call. The way we're going to do this is that in a minute, I'll open up with prayer. I'll turn the floor over to Lisa. Lisa will share her restored marriage testimony. And then after that, we will open up the floor for Q&A, where everyone on the call is going to be welcome to ask any questions of Lisa, and then she'll then provide answers. After that, we'll have a closing prayer, and that'll be the conclusion of our conference call. That's our format. One more thing I want to mention. When we get to the Q&A, please do not use your spouse's name. Again, because we recorded this and we post this on a semi-private website. Don't use your spouse's name. And whether or not you want to use your first name, that's optional. It doesn't matter. But again, we want to cover our spouses. We don't want to mention their names or anything that they're doing right now. Having said that, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to open with prayer, and then we'll move forward with Lisa's testimony. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your grace and mercies that are brand new every morning. We thank you, Father, for bringing all of us together here on this conference call, Father, to hear of the good work that you have done. We thank you, Father, for the testimony we're about to hear from Lisa. We ask, Father, that you would speak in and through her and her testimony this morning, that you would touch each of our hearts, all of us who are standing for our marriages, waiting for our spouses to come back home. Really, we're waiting for you. We're waiting for you and your perfect timing, because we know that You're the one who holds our spouses' hearts in your hands. So, Father, we're waiting on you. We're not waiting for Satan to relinquish them. We're waiting for you to deliver them in your perfect timing. So, Father, we pray that that your Holy Spirit would anoint Lisa's testimony this morning, that it would touch each of our hearts, that each one of us on this call or in the recording later on who's listening, that each one of us would have at least one nugget of your truth that would resonate with our hearts and we could take away from this that would encourage us, embolden us to stand with you in faith based on your word, your promises, that you would do all of this, which is restore our marriages, bring our spouses back home, restore our households and our families. Father, we ask that you would join us in this conference call, you and your Holy Spirit. Touch each of our hearts, bless us. We thank you for the time that you've given to Lisa to share its testimony, and let her testimony, Father, be prophetic to each one of us listening now or later, prophetic in our own marriages, that in our own marriages and our own families, you are going to do exactly what you have done with Lisa. So, Father, we thank you. We worship you and honor you, give you all the praise, glory, and honor. And, Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Lisa, the floor is yours. Everyone's on mute, so until you're done with your testimony, we're all going to be on mute waiting and listening to your story. You have the floor. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. So my story of restoration is actually, it's just been an amazing journey. Even though it's not over, I thank God for everything that he has done and everything that he will do. And so I'm going to try to be concise with it because there are so many moving parts. My husband and I have been together for almost 28 years. We just last month celebrated 18 years of marriage. When my husband and I got married, we were, when we first got together, we were very young. I'd already had children, he had children, and I became pregnant pretty soon after we got together. And so we both made a decision that, you know, we just wanted to be together and try to make things work. And so our relationship and even our marriage, it was pretty rocky. There were times where we were together and times when we were not. So I would say probably in 1999, we made a decision that we were going to split. It just was not working. At that time, he was dealing with issues. He was an alcoholic. Financially, we weren't doing well. There was just infidelity in the relationship. It just wasn't working. And so we decided we would go our separate ways. And that was in 1999. And then I would say probably about a year or two later, we came back together and I told him, you know, he changed and things were going to be better. And so I told him that if we were going to get back together, that we would have to get married, that I wasn't going to stay in a relationship where we were boyfriend and girlfriend, that we had to do things right in God's eyes. And so that's what we did. We ended up getting married in 2002. And I really thought that marriage would change things. And I soon learned that, you know, many of our old issues just were still there. And it was tough. It was a really tough time. I was raised in the church. So I knew about God, and I remember just getting back into church and really seeking God for my marriage. And at that time, I didn't know that I was standing. I just knew that I needed God to save my marriage, to save my husband. I went to church every Sunday. I tithed. I even did marriage counseling. I did it by myself. I joined marriage ministries. I was just doing everything that I felt I could to save my marriage. And the more that I did to save my marriage, it was just the worst things got. My husband, he would, you know, take my wedding rings. When he would get mad at me, he would go down to the county courthouse and he would get divorce papers, and he would bring them home and tell me that, you know, I needed to fill them out, that he wanted to divorce me. And I went through that for years, and I went through that. And then there just came a period where I was like, you know what, Lord, I've prayed, I've tried, it's not working. I prayed to you to save my marriage and you didn't do it, and I'm just done. And so I turned my heart, turned to stone. It really did. And at the time that my heart turned to stone, when I turned it from God and my husband actually turned his heart back to me. Well, God did. But at that time, it was just too late. I felt justified in my actions. I looked in the Bible and saw where, you know, biblically I could divorce him. At least I felt I could for the adultery. And so that's what I did. And I remember that as we were going through the divorce, there were so many times when people would speak to me and ask me if I was sure that I was doing the right thing. Even when we went to court, there were multiple times where the court date either it got canceled or it got pushed back. But again, my heart was stone. I turned from my husband. I turned from God, and I wasn't trying to hear it. I was going to divorce him. I was going to go on, and I was going to have a better life because I deserved it. And there was one particular time I was at the place I was working. My girlfriend said, you know, are you sure that you're doing the right thing? And I told her, no, I'm not, but God is a forgiving God, and if I'm not doing the right thing, he'll forgive me. And she said, well, do you ever think that you'll take your husband back? And I told her that God would have to come down from the heavens himself and tell me to take him back. That's the only way I would take him back. And so I want you guys to remember what I said, that God would have to come down from the heavens himself. My husband and I divorced in 2013, and even after the divorce, we still remained in contact for about 2 years. We lost contact in about 2015, and I was actually quite relieved because I thought, yes, finally, you know, he's gone. He's out of my life. Now, I'm going to get everything that I deserve. I just started my own business. I landed a really nice grant. I was making more money than I ever made. I was just in a really good place in my life, or so I thought. And it was probably December of 2015. We were going into 2016, and things in my life took a drastic change. I actually was preparing for a new grant cycle. And I'd written the grant, I'd submitted it, I was just so excited about things. And 2 weeks before I was supposed to go into the new grant, I got a call saying that they weren't going to renew the grant. And at that time, I was devastated. And so I went back into a stage of, like, Lord, you know, what are you doing to me? I thought I was really going to be happy for once in my life. I thought I was, you know, you were doing things for me. You didn't, you know, work my marriage out. The least you could have done is work this out for me. And so I just remember feeling despondent, helpless, hopeless, and I just didn't know. And it was at that time where God really began to deal with me, where my heart started to soften up because it'd been hard for so long. And I believe it was at that time where God was able to get a hold of me. So we were going into 2016, and it was probably about, it was February. I remember the month. I think it was like the 18th or something, 2016. Mm-hmm. And I actually went to bed. And God awoke me in the morning and told me that I needed to find my husband and bring him home. And if you remember, I said that God would have to come down from the heavens himself and tell me that I was supposed to get my husband. And I was just like, oh, my goodness. And so I called my sister, and I told her, I said, you're never going to believe this. God told me that I needed to find my husband and bring him home. And I didn't even know where he was. I didn't know anything. I didn't even know why God was telling me that I needed to do this. So I knew where my husband last lived. We lived in the same city. And so that's where I would go. And for a couple of weeks every day, I would go to his old apartment, and I would never see his car. And, you know, God just kept pressing on me that I needed to find him and I needed to bring him home. And so I actually hired a private investigator. And eventually I did find my husband. When I reached out to him, he was very angry with me. He actually wouldn't even talk to me. He wouldn't communicate at all. The only thing that I had was an email address. And so I just, you know, was again in a place like, God, you know, you told me to find him. You told me to bring him home. I found him, but, you know, he won't respond to me. He doesn't want anything to do with me. He doesn't love me anymore. Like, God, what are you doing to me? So I was back in that place of really not understanding what God was doing. And I remember just being there. And so it was one day I started having these pains, like I was giving birth. And it was just so bizarre to me. But I was giving birth to my husband, and I didn't even know what it was. And so I called one of my sisters, and I'm like, something weird is going on here. It feels like I'm giving birth to my husband. Like, I'm literally in childbirth. I was like, I don't know what's going on. It was just, it was, and for women on the call that have been through this, you know how painful childbirth is. And that's when my sister told me, she goes, you're travailing. God has called you to travail for your husband. And so I had to go and look up travailing. And it's exactly what I was going through. And I remember three times asking God if I had to do this because it was so painful. And each time I asked God if I had to do this, he told me yes. For 40 days and 40 nights, I stayed in a constant state of fasting and praying. And that's all I did at this time. And during this time of my fasting and praying and travailing, little by little, I saw my husband's heart start to soften, and he was cordial with me via email, but that was, it was just little pieces of something. And I just remember during this time, I would just keep asking God, you know, if I'm doing the right thing, just give me something, give me a sign, and every time, or a word, God did that for me. And so it was one day I was in bed, I was up. At this time, I was I had an adult coloring book, I remember. And so I was in bed. I'd had a long day from work. And my doorbell started ringing. And my family knows that one of my pet peeves is my doorbell, if they just lay on it and just, you know, ring, 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 ring. And there are only two people that ring my doorbell like that, my son and my husband. And I knew my son was in the house, and I knew it wasn't him. And I was just like, okay, who in the world is this at my door, ringing my doorbell like this? So I get up, and I go open the door, you know, very upset. And it was my husband who was on the front porch. And I just couldn't believe it because I had no signs, really, that he was coming home. Actually, every sign pointed that he would not come home. And it was 6 months later that my husband actually made the transition to come home. Let me add this, that when God told me to get my husband and bring him home, I didn't wait for my husband to come home. I started preparing for my husband to come home right away. I cleaned out closets. I cleaned out dresser drawers. I made sure that I had his favorite foods in the cabinets and the refrigerator, things that he liked to drink, even without any communication from my husband. That is what I did. I just prepared because I knew that I had a promise from God, even though it looked like the promise wasn't going to come to pass. I knew that I had a promise from God. And so that is what I was going on. And even during the time, when my husband, from the first time he rang the doorbell to the time that he actually returned home, he kept saying, "I'll never come back. I'll never come back. I'll never come back. And I kept thinking, "God, you know, this, he's saying he's never going to come back. Like, you know, how are you going to do this?" And every time God just showed himself faithful. And so it's been 5 years. We're going on 6 years. full restoration. I say that, you know, for me, full restoration is honestly when my husband received salvation, because for me, that is ultimately God wants, and he did restore my marriage, but it's really about my husband's salvation. And my husband is not saved at this point, but I know that it's coming. And so once God gives full restoration, once my husband receives salvation, I know that that is full restoration. The love that I have for my husband right now is only a love that God could give. I love him. And I love him the way God loves him. And so that really, that really helps. So I'm excited about what God has done. I'm excited about what God will do. And I'm excited for just to see what the future holds. I'll also tell you that during the time when I was travailing, God really dealt with me. And one of the things that he told me is that I did not honor my husband in our marriage. And because I did not honor my husband, I did not honor God. He told me that when you brought your husband to me, that is my child. I know how to deal with him. God just dealt with me in so, so many ways during that time of travailing for my husband. I'm not the same person that I was, and I thank God for that. But I just want you to know that if God has made you a promise that he is going to restore your marriage, he will do just that. I have some tips that I want to share with you guys that have helped me along the way. And one of those is don't wait on something, wait in something. So, for example, if you don't wait on God, wait in God, because there is really a difference. And I'll give you an example. There are some days where I can go to the grocery store and I'm just going. Typically, I'll see someone that I know and there's a conversation that takes place and I can be at the grocery store, you know, just 2 hours alone doing that. And then I walk up to the line, and there may be 10 people in front of me. And I'm okay because I'm not waiting on something. I'm waiting in something. There are other days where I can go to the grocery store and my mission is to get in and out. And I'll run into someone that I know. I'll get in line and there are 10 people and I need to get out of here. And then I become impatient because I'm not waiting in it. I'm waiting on it. And it's not going the way that I envisioned it or the way that I planned it. So then I become impatient. So whatever it is that you're seeking God for, wait in it, don't wait on it. So if it's God, you need to wait in God. If it's peace, then you wait in peace. If it's forgiveness, then you wait in forgiveness. If it's love, then you wait in love. So that's number one. Number two is that our words have power. I don't post on the wall a lot, but I go to the wall every day, several times a day, and I read and I pray for people. And I sometimes will see things where, you know, we have labeled our spouses with whatever it is they're dealing with, whether it's alcoholism, whether it's mental issues, whether it's pornography, whether it's adultery. And so we will put these labels on them. Our words have power, and understand that. And so just speak differently. And I would just encourage you to do that. Just know that your words have power, that life and death is in the power of the tongue. And you're either going to speak life into your marriage or you're going to speak death. Number three is how you may see God, how you may see your spouse is not how God sees them. Our spouses to us could be the most wretched human beings on this earth, but that is not how God sees them. God loves our spouses, and he has called us to stand. And so what helps me is when I'm able to see my husband as God sees my husband. Number four is really to, if your spouse is not home, prepare for your spouse to come home. Don't wait. Just prepare. Prepare and be ready for when God brings your spouse home. Number four would be to know that there's a difference between facts and there's a difference between truth. And just because something is factual doesn't mean it's truthful. And I'll give you an example. When my husband first came home, he, during our period of separation, he connected himself with another woman. And so I found a marriage license that they had obtained. And that is a fact, that there was a marriage license. But the truth was that God made me a promise that he was going to restore my marriage. So I had a choice to make. I could either live in the fact or I could live in the truth. And I chose to live in God's truth. And on this journey, you're going to encounter that. And we're all human. And there are times where I have given in and I have lived in facts. But I go to God, I ask him for what I need, and then I get what I need and I begin to live in God's truth. So just know that because something is factual doesn't mean that it's truthful. There are two different things. Number five is that God wants to see our spouses saved. Ultimately, this is what it's about. God is more concerned with the salvation of our spouses than he is with our happiness. And so don't lose sight of what we're doing here. We are standing for our marriages. But more importantly, we're believing God and we're standing for our spouse's salvation. Number six is when the enemy attacks, and the enemy will, is that you attack even harder. And you do that and by living in God's truth. You do that by speaking God's word over yourself, over your husband or your wife, your marriage, your finances, whatever it is the enemy is attacking. You have to dig in harder. And I know it's hard because I've been there, and there are some days where I'm still there. But the more the enemy attacks, the more that you just have to dig in. The other thing that I would say is, we're on number six, is be aware of counterfeits. This can be a very lonely journey for us, especially if our spouses are not there. And someone may come along and, you know, in your state of loneliness, you think momentarily that, you know, what if this is the person? What if I'm not supposed to be standing? What if my husband doesn't come home? What if my wife doesn't come home? Or I'm tired of being alone. Be aware of counterfeits. Just continue to stand for your marriage. Number seven, be careful of asking for advice. I'll often see on the wall where some of, you know, us, we ask for advice. Just be careful of that. Make sure that you're going to God. He's the ultimate advisor as you go through this journey of marriage restoration. And I guess lastly, I will just tell you that it's already done. God has made you a promise. It's already done. And that's my story.
Great story. Thank you, Lisa. Let me go ahead and unmute everybody. And oh, I don't know if everyone hears that, but we know we're all unmuted now. All right. Thank you, Lisa, for that. And we're going to open up the floor to Q&A now. Let me fire off the first shot. The first question is, Lisa, can you tell us more of I guess that's a two-part question. First, when you reached out to your husband, like God said, go find your husband, and then you found him through a PI, what was your first contact with him or communication? Did you call him, text him, email him, and can you share with us a little bit of what was the content of that, you know, first communication reaching out to him? And second, when he showed up on your door annoying you with the repeated, you know, leaning on the doorbell, what did he say to you? So I think both of those are very insightful moments, if you could share that with us.
So when I got the information from the private investigator, I actually got just an address and an email address. I didn't have a phone number. And so I didn't really know his circumstances, the situation, where he was staying, who, you know, anything like that. So I chose to communicate via email. Now, I will tell you that I am actually somewhat loose as well. I'm like an expert detective. So there was this app that you could put on email where you could actually see if someone opened your email. And so even though my husband wasn't responding to any of my emails initially, I could see that he was opening them and he was reading them. So it was just, I think, something very simple where I reached, you know, out to him. And at that time, I don't even really think I knew what to say. I couldn't go into, because my husband is a believer, that, hey, God woke me up and told me to come find you. I know one of the things that I did was just say every day I would send him a good morning, I love you. And before I ended the day, I would send him a good night, said I love you. Sometimes if God put it on my heart, send a song, I would send a song, a scripture. But it was mainly like a good morning and a good evening text at first. He started to respond, and then the more that he responded, the more that I opened up about, you know, what God has placed in my heart. When he was on the door, you know, I was in shock, and I don't really think he said too much of anything. He was just standing there, and I just opened the door and let him in, and I just remember giving him a really big hug. And he may have said, you know, I'm okay. I've been okay. I think it was something like that. Yeah.
Okay. Questions from our listeners? Don't be shy.
Hi. I was wondering if you could tell a little bit more about what transpired during the, I think you said it was 40 days of travailing?
It was, the Lord called me to travail for my husband. So it was 40 days and 40 nights. It's 40 nights that I was actually fasting and praying for my husband. And I could tell you during that time, those 40 days and 40 nights, I actually did not eat. I did not sleep. I was up for 40 days, 40 nights. And
oh, come
it was
on.
God that I was able to do that. During that time, I was, again, thanking God for the manifestation. So even though my husband wasn't there, even though the contact is very limited, even though he wasn't home, I was thanking God for the manifestation of his promises. And I remember as it got towards the end, there was one day, one morning, early morning that I was up praying for my husband, and I could feel Satan. I could actually, it was like I was running a marathon, if that makes any sense. And so it was getting towards the end, and I was getting just tired. And I remember crying out to God, and I could feel like it was like I was trying to go uphill, and this strong wind just kept pushing and just pushing me down. And it was at that time that God told me that, you know, I'd done what I needed to do as far as, you know, travailing for my husband, what he called me to do, and that he had it from there. So it was a very, it was so intense for me, because during that time, not only was I called to travail for my husband, but I also started a new position, and I was traveling a lot for that. So it was just, it was one of the most intense, one of the most painful periods of my life, but it gave birth to something that is much greater.
Okay. Are there questions? Open floor Q&A.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Lisa. First and foremost, thank you for sharing your story. It's absolutely beautiful, and it does show God's glory in such a mighty way. My question for you is, where were you spiritually before your doorbell rang? Like, in that part of your life, were there any signs from God that was going to happen? Did it just happen out of the blue, or what? Like, my question is, like, where were you spiritually at that point? Were you at a place of rest and peace and just knowing that it was already done, or was it a part of your journey where you were under more attack? Like, just where were you spiritually before you saw the breakthrough began to manifest?
So I was just at a place where I was already done. I was resting in the promise that God had given me over my marriage.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're so, so very welcome.
I have a question that ties in with that, actually. So I'm currently being told by God now, like, everything that I have been praying for. It is coming right now. And in the real world, my husband, he's caught up in rebellion currently. But I keep hearing now from God. And so I'm having like a major battle within my mind, wrestling with, okay, maybe it might not be this very moment. It might be another month. Who knows if it might be another year. And so I'm wondering what your take is on when God says now and for when it actually happens, because I'm really wrestling with it in my mind. It's getting hard.
So I would take you back to, and this is sort of cliche, but God's timing is not our timing. It's cliche, but it's true. And I would take you back to where I said there's a difference between waiting on God and waiting in God, and you have to choose. And so don't wait on God, wait in him. Wait in the promise that God has given you that he is going to restore your marriage, and that's where you have to be. Another thing that's important is that we have to, and as difficult as it is, we have to give our spouses over to God. I know in this journey there were times where, honestly, I thought that I could do it myself. And I realized I couldn't and I can't. And the more that I was able to just give my husband over to God, to give the situation over to God, is honestly the more that I saw God move. And I really believe that, you know, I wouldn't be 5 years if I probably just would have a little sooner been able to do that and just rest in knowing that no matter what I see, no matter what would come out of my husband's mouth, no matter what the enemy, the thoughts that he would put in my head, that it's already done. So just tell yourself, it's already done. It's done. And wait in your situation, don't wait on it. There is such a difference between waiting in something and waiting on something.
Thank you.
Hi, Lisa. I have a question. What did your life look like in regards to, I know that you had mentioned you were in communication with your sister, but as far as like other friends, family members, you know, sometimes going through this journey, we tend to share things and, you know, whether we're standing for our marriage or speaking in to something that looks like to the outside world, it's dead. And so it's kind of important to protect that. So what did that look like?
I am blessed that I come from a family that are Christians and that we all believe in God. And so my family was, and really there were just really two of my sisters that I really leaned into during that time period. And so they just were very supportive. And there was a time when I think back to Bob and Charlene, where Bob said there was a time, you know, some of the signs that showed as Charlene was getting closer to her breakthrough is that some of her prayer partners started to be removed. And that's one thing that I saw and I couldn't understand, that even though these were my sisters, God started to remove them, because there was a time where, even though I was praying, even though I was fasting, even though I was doing those things that I was connected to God, I was, I would say, a little dependent on them too. Like, you know, so can you pray for me, or can I get a word from you, different things like that. And so God really started to remove them from me to where I totally became dependent on him throughout this journey. The other thing that God did for me, and I didn't realize it, is that he used me to be able to help other people. So I actually had, at the time that, you know, I was going through, I had two of my very, very close girlfriends who were going through as well, and I didn't even know it. And one of them actually, I'll never forget, God is just so awesome. I hadn't talked to her in a while, and I was in the kitchen cooking one night, and this was actually at a time where, you know, I was just still, God was just still really dealing with me, and he spoke to me, and he told me, you need to call your friend and tell her not to divorce her husband. And I thought, okay, that's really weird, because I haven't talked to her. Like, I don't even know what that means, but okay. And so I kind of put it off for a couple of days, and then God said, you know, you need to call her, and you need to tell her not to divorce her husband. You need to share with her. And I was like, okay. And as I was cooking dinner, I said, well, you know what, God, I said, I'll get to it when I'm done. And as soon as that thought, you know, left my mind, my phone rang, and it was that girlfriend. And I told her, I go, you know, I said, you're not going to believe this. I said, and I don't even know where this is coming from, but God told me to tell you not to divorce your husband. And she just broke down crying because she said, you're not going to believe this, but he left. You know, she was about to go through divorce. And so that's another thing. When God is dealing with you, he'll use you. And I know these are our situations, but if we allow God to use us, we can be such a blessing for other people. So I hope that helps.
Other questions?
I have a question. Did it progressively get better over the 6 months after your husband showed up at the door? Because mine has showed up a number of times over the past 2 years, and it's always been like an extremely disappointing false start, and it's been getting worse after that.
So initially when he showed up, it was good. It was really good. At that time, I really didn't know my husband's situation. I didn't know that he'd actually connected himself to someone else. But as, you know, things progressed, I will tell you that it actually started when he actually made the move back home. It got worse. Recall I told you about the marriage license that I found. There were times where he still wouldn't come home sometimes. So, but again, in those moments, there were just so many times on this journey where I just wanted to give up. Because, you know, I just thought that restoration would look differently, and I was more focused on just, you know, we're going to get back in front of, you know, we're going to make this official again, we're going to say I do, and we're just going to live happily ever after. And that's not what this is about. I had to come to realize that God is really wanting my husband to be, and it is, it just isn't happening overnight. It's not going to happen. I mean, at this point for us, it's not something that's going to happen overnight. So, yeah, it got really hard when he first came back. Very, very hard.
Okay, I can relate. Thank you.
Other questions? Open floor.
I have a question.
Yes. No, go ahead.
Go ahead. Okay. And again, thank you, Lisa, for sharing your story. This is really helping. But my question is, like, as far as, okay, now that you're restored, could you just speak to some of the things or, you know, as far as like what you're doing to continuously, you know, be in a good place. I don't know, you know, if it's counseling or just what the restoration process, which is, you know, that everyone says is continuing even after you restore, what that looks like.
So for me, it is I have fully given my husband over to God. I just have. I've realized that I can't fix this myself, because if I could, it would have been fixed a long time ago. So I have fully given my husband over to God. There are still periods of time where I call it that my husband enters into the wilderness. And I'm okay with that because I know that God has him. I never stop praying for my husband. And actually, I just thank God that it's already done and that the manifestation will soon come. And it's important to know, too, that in this period that our spouses are looking at us. They really are, and they're listening to us. And part of this process is that especially when if you've gone through a divorce, you've gone through a period of separation, there's sometimes going to be some trust issues. And so your spouse really wants to know that you love them and that they can trust you if they were to come back home or when they come back home. And so it's important that our spouses know that because they're looking at that. I can't tell you how many times during this journey where even though my husband is not saved, he reminded me that I'm saved. I think I shared something on the wall recently that he was, you know, a coworker shared with him that she was about to go through a divorce, that her husband had moved out, and that my husband told her, you know what, God can and he will restore anything. And he goes, you know, honey, I got that from you. So that's why I said our words have power. Even when we think our spouses aren't listening to us, especially those that are in the house with us, they really are. So just keep that in mind. But ultimately, I gave my husband to God. That's what I did, and that's where my peace comes from.
Somebody else had another question?
I have one more question. not asking for advice, because I realize that ultimately it does come from God in terms of what actions we take, but I'm more asking your opinion in this particular question. So I've been on my journey for 3.5 years, and when I first started the journey, I went full gusto in terms of communicating to him that I wanted our marriage and our family restored. And at that time, I was waiting on God. So I know what you mean when you say the difference between waiting on and waiting in. Over the past 6 months or so, I have really fallen into a strong place of peace where I am waiting in God, and there are days when I forget that I'm waiting for a marriage to be restored. I've gotten to a place where I just have so much joy in my life. It almost didn't matter anymore. So, but then little things will happen, like someone texts me that we were having this call this morning. I'm like, oh, that's right. I am waiting to have my marriage restored. And so you said you went full gusto once God spoke to you, you reached out and you continued to text morning and night. And I thought that was really beautiful. And I know a lot of women especially deal with how much we want to reach out or letting them know. And so let me get to the question. And the question is, or in your opinion, what is your opinion on letting the person know that you really truly want the restoration? So after you've already told them you want the restoration, they know you want the restoration, and they've said, I don't want it, I'm never coming back. You just simply said you continue to reach out and say, good morning, I love you. Good night, I love you. You didn't keep saying, can we get back together? I want to be restored. You didn't seem to press that. You just said, good morning, I love you, good morning, or good night, I love you. In your opinion, I keep saying that, do you feel as though there's a time or a place where women should really not communicate a desire to restore or desire to restore to their spouse? I think that's kind of what I'm saying. Okay, I will let you answer.
So I believe it, you know, we're on the same journey, but they're different. And for me, I believe it's whatever God puts in you. Every step of the way, I went to God. And so I believe for me, once God let me know that my, you know, he showed me that my husband's heart was starting to soften. Once, you know, he started communicating a little bit more, that's where I actually let him know that God had called me to stand for our marriage. And I didn't push the issue after that. It was just simply I let him know, again, my husband is I'm not a believer. And so, you know, he's just a little different when it comes to that. So I was just merely, again, just like, you know, this is why I'm here. This is what God has placed in me. And this is why I'm here. And that was basically it. I never asked, you know, when are you coming home? Are you coming? I never forced any of the issues like that. No. So does that sort of
You know what?
Help?
As you were speaking, I felt the Spirit of the Lord say, speak to his heart. And as you were speaking, it just came very clear to me. We tend to mess up by asking for something that is not, God has not moved upon his heart yet. So we need to know where they are and speak to his heart. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. That is one of the things, and I still continue to say that, even to this day, that I just ask God to speak to my husband's heart.
Any other questions?
I just have one more question. Going through your journey, you know, sometimes early in the journey, we tend to be focusing so much on our spouses, you know, God changed them, fixed them, and God beautifully, you know, begins to change us. Can you speak to, you know, what, like, specifically or a couple of things that stood out to you that God changed in you, and then maybe one or two examples of what you saw in your spouse's behavior that when you saw it, you were like, oh, my gosh, God, wow.
So in the beginning, I talked about when I, you know, when I was started this travailing and stuff, that God really dealt with me. I, even though I was in the church and I was saved, my husband wasn't, I started to look at my husband like, oh, you're just, you know, you're unsaved. You're never going to change. I even had a pastor tell me that my husband wouldn't change. And I began to believe the lies of the enemy. I began to justify being able to divorce my husband with that as well, the adultery and different things like that. I actually looked at my husband as being unstable. I guess that's the only way that I can put it, which really made it easy for me to go through with the divorce. When God was dealing with me before he physically brought my husband back home, that is where he told me that I did not honor my husband in our marriage. And it had nothing to do with that. It had everything to do with that. At the time that I was standing, I went to God, and I believed God that he was going to, you know, I guess save my marriage is the word that I use. And he just simply told me, you did not honor your husband in your marriage, and because you did not honor your husband, you did not honor me. That is my child, and I will deal with him. And so now I'm dealing with you. And when I tell you that God just, you know, we talk about, it was like he just really, really dealt with me. He broke me down. He showed me where I was prideful. I was, you know, just hypocritical, where I looked down on my husband as being unworthy, unsavable, just all of the things that I thought about him that justified my act. And that's just where God dealt with me. As far, and so that's really what sticks out in my mind. As I said now, the love that I have for my husband can only come from God. I know that on this journey, and the other thing to remember is at this time, especially when we're waiting in, you know, for our spouses to come back, that they've been taken captive by the enemy. And so the things that they say, the things that they do sometimes, that's not them. That's the enemy working through them. And so the enemy will do that to get you off track, where you walk away and you say, you know what, I knew it. I knew this marriage wasn't worth saving, or I knew it wasn't worth standing, or I knew this about him. Oh, he or she is always going to be this way. You have to recognize that. You have to understand that. And that's where I believe many times in this journey where the enemy attempted to attack to prevent me from getting God's promise. And my husband, though, I gave the example of what he used with a colleague to encourage her to stand for her marriage. And I can even tell when God is dealing with my husband, because those are the times sometimes when my husband will get distant sometimes. And my husband will even tell me that God is dealing with him. I mean, he'll come flat out, and it's just things that I went to God about, and I don't go to my husband anymore. I used to early on make the mistake of going to him when God would put something in, but I don't do that anymore. When God gives me something, soon my husband will say something, and it's just confirmation that I know that God is working in him. Sometimes it's through the words that he says, and sometimes it's through his action. So, do you understand? Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Lisa, prior to God dealing with you and kind of turning your heart back around, when you were filing for divorce and you divorced your husband, did you blame him for everything and then use those accusations as justification for your divorce?
Oh, absolutely. I felt totally justified. As I said, he was just, he was just unworthy of me. He was unworthy of God. I used everything that he ever did to me, everything I felt that he ever did to me to justify my actions, I absolutely did. Everything was, it was all him. Nothing, none of it was me, because I was perfect. You know, I was the one going to church. I was the one tithing. I was the one fasting, you know. I was the one doing right by our money, taking care of our home. I was right and he was just wrong.
After God spoke to you, follow-up question, after God spoke to you and encountered you and said, you know, Lisa, you need to stand for your marriage, you need to go find your husband, because we know how the enemy operates and he's got certain strategies and techniques that are the same playbook, how did Satan, after God encountered you and told you that, how did Satan attack you with doubts, worries, fears? God, did I hear you right? God, are you actually going to do this? Especially during your period of 6 months when you haven't heard from him at all, prior to him suddenly showing up at your door. How did Satan attack you, and how did you deal with those doubts and fears and worries?
Actually, Satan, at one point, he actually used my mother And so there was a time where, and on this journey, you're going to learn that even if it's the people that are close to us that love us, not everyone understands what God has called us to do. And I remember that my mother said some things like, basically, how do you really know it's God? What if he's remarried? What if he's this? What if he's that? You know, are you sure you want to take him back after everything that you went through? And during that period that I was travailing for my husband and seeking God, I actually had to cut my mother off. And, you know, that can be difficult, but I had to, because what she was saying was really planting seeds of doubt in my head, because I knew what God told me to do. I know the promise that God gave me. I just had to cut her off, and I just had to press into God even more. That probably, too, was about the time where I believe I found Rejoice Ministry. So there was a period of time where I just had to cut off people, even people that loved me, because they were just planting seeds of doubt, and God had already given me a promise.
Okay, other questions?
Yeah, when did you end up getting remarried?
So my husband and I are not remarried. It's something that we're actually talking about right now. And one of the things that I dealt with on this journey is I really thought that restoration was all about just really getting that piece of paper, that once we got that piece of paper, that would be it. What God dealt with me about is that even though I divorced my husband, that the covenant was still there. And so that's something that we're, you know, talking about now. We're talking about rings and different things like that. But for me, and what God told me is that covenant is still there, that you have a piece of paper, but that's not what this is about. This is your covenant.
Got it. Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's interesting. Elisa, thank you for sharing that specific thing, because I have not even thought about that. We try not to focus on a piece of paper during the divorce when our spouses are divorcing us. But then we come back around and we make a big issue of the piece of paper being reissued. But if we're really truly standing on God's word, what God said, if God said, hey, look, you're still married in my eyes, then in God's eyes, we still are married. So whether our spouses, through the court system, got that piece of paper, or on the restoration side, whether we have it or not, the only thing that really matters is, what did God say? So thank you for that, because I never even thought about that.
Yeah, that was
until now.
Because even with our time, when he came back right away, it was my wife. Everything that comes out of his wife, out of his mouth, is my wife. It was never my ex-wife. It's never Lisa. He's having a conversation. My wife is, you know, sometimes he'll be here at home and someone will call his phone. He's like, hey, you know, I'm talking to my wife right now. Can I give you a call back? Or my wife and I are going to do this, or my wife and I are going to do that. So
that is amazing. I love that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Other questions? We'll take one or two more questions, and then we'll go ahead and wrap it up. So last call.
Yes, I have a question. After you divorced your husband and before God spoke to you, did you ever think about your husband at all, or is that something you thought of him daily?
I didn't think about him daily. You know, every now and then I would get this fleeting thought of, you know, I wonder where he's at. You know, I hope he's doing okay. But that was about the extent of it. I will say, though, that more so, you know, my sisters, again, they're just very instrumental. They began to, right before God spoke to me about going back for my husband, they began to really question me about him. And I would say, why are you guys, like, I'm not as concerned as you are. Like, why do you guys keep asking me if I've heard from him, if I've talked to him? Like, no, I haven't, and I'm okay with that. You know, that. So, yeah, that's kind of, that's where I was. So I did have fleeting thoughts about him, just hoping that he was okay. But as far as restoration or anything like that, that was just not a thought for me at all.
Okay,
one more question.
Go ahead, sorry. Did you date anyone before God spoke to you?
No, and you know what? That was the other thing. I did not, but I'll be honest, during that year that we actually lost contact, I planned that I would date someone and get remarried. You know, that was my thought, but I never did, never.
We make plans, but God directs our steps, right?
That is absolutely correct.
Okay. Any more final questions? Like, this is pretty amazing that we have, you know, restored marriage. I thought we would have a barrage of questions. One more question. Anyone?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm kind of nervous to ask questions because I didn't hear your whole testimony. I was on a feed and saw that you guys was having a session. I'm at a point where now me and my spouse, we're friends. And we've never lost contact because we have children. And we went through all litigation and everything, but it's 7 months after, and he hasn't signed any paperwork, and neither have I. And we've been out of the house together for 2 years now, and he's now with someone else. But we've become really, really good friends. I guess my question I'm really nervous about asking is, I'm waiting on God, and I'm living my life, and we are friends. And he calls me with issues and things of that matter. But I hold on because we are still, like, sexually active. And I know, you know, the Bible says husbands and wives that we shouldn't deny each other. But sometimes when I do that, it pulls on me emotionally. And I'm thinking, Lord, am I doing the right thing? You know, and I'm seeing so much breakthrough. But that accept, it bothers me knowing that, you know, he's with another woman. And I prayed, and this is a general question for everyone. Like, how do I handle that? Do I continue to be intimate with my spouse, or do I cut that off as well?
One of the things is, and I don't know if you've heard, but my husband and I are not remarried as far as the piece of paper. But one of the things that God shared with me is that even though I divorced my husband, that covenant is still there. And so that is what I function under, is that is my husband. And so, you know, I for me, it's something that honestly, I don't know that any of us on this call can answer for you. I would just encourage you to seek God in that area. And I'll be honest, when my husband first came back, that was one of the things that I, you know, wrestled with, because, you know, you go through this thing of where, you know, that act is between should be between a husband and a wife, and you know what, God, we don't have this piece of paper, but again, God spoke to me and told me that that piece of paper didn't matter, that that is my covenant spouse, that he called him back home. And so that gives me peace in my relationship with my husband. So, yeah.
Does that help? That final question, caller, does that help you?
Yeah, it does. It helps me, and I understand that. It's just
this journey. We're all on the same journey, but all of us will take a different path. We will have things that are similar, but ultimately it will be different. And so, what you really have to understand is you know, just honestly seek God for yourself and just in everything that you do and everything that you're feeling, and let God guide and direct you, and don't get caught up in what other people say. That's, you were probably late on the call, but one of the things I talked about is when we ask for advice and we allow other people to advise us, just know that we're all human. We all have a different interpretation of things. And so someone may tell you whether, well, I would do this or I would do that or I wouldn't. But ultimately, you just have to seek God for yourself. You have to get direction from him for yourself. That's the only way that this is going to work, your journey.
And I will confirm what Lisa just said, because in hearing many, many, many return prodigals' testimonials and a lot of standards' testimonials as well, is, every one of us who are standing for our marriages, we're walking, I think a better way to put this, which just came to me this week, is we're all on a same journey, but we're all on parallel paths. I'm not on your path, you're not on my path, but our paths, as different as they are parallel to one another. And the end destination is the same. God wants to restore. So your path, although it's parallel with mine, might have different details. Where for you, God might say, don't do this specific thing, or do this with me, it might be the opposite. So one thing that might help you is obviously pray about it, but if you're feeling a lot of guilt and shame from that, take that to the Lord, because that might be coming from the enemy, trying to further separate you and your spouse by making you feel shame and guilt from withholding from him, because you still have a covenant with your spouse. If you're feeling peace about it, but other people are condemning you, then try to sort through those. Where is that coming from? Is it coming from your mind, your heart, or is it from other people? The condemnation, the shame, the guilt. Once you kind of isolate where those voices are coming from, and whether they're in your heart or from external, from other people, then you'll be able to better discern which one is from God and which one isn't, because Satan will make us feel shame and guilt and condemnation. God, through the Holy Spirit, will only make us feel conviction, and there's a big difference between the two. So I hope that helps, but you're going to have to work through all of those in prayer, and the Lord will answer you if you ask him, because he wants to be known, and he wants us to know his will specifically for our journeys. So I hope that helps. Having said all that, we're going to go and wrap it up now. Lisa, thank you again for both your time and your testimony and your patience in the questions and answers and being open and transparent with us. I want to make an announcement real quick, and then we'll close it up with prayer. For those of you who have heard, I think it was a week or two ago, I did a conference call with a former prodigal who is now a stander. Her name is Kay. I posted it on praisereports.org. It's there. If you haven't heard it, you can go listen to it. We're doing a follow-up call, part two, next week. And I think it's – actually, I do have the dates here in front of me. I'll give you that now since we're on the phone. And I will post this in a couple of different places as well so everyone can try to tune in. And unfortunately, it's during the week again. Okay, so it's next Wednesday, September 30th, and it's at 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time. 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Same call-in, same access. It's part two of Kay's prodigal testimony. She's going to spend her time talking about the encounter she had with God, where that converted her from being the prodigal to being a stander. And we thought we would allot one conference call for that because she said there was a lot in that. And I think that's very important. If you can't make the phone call during the week, go back and listen to it after I post it on praisereports.org. Go back and listen to it later. But that's very important because she's going to share with you the heart of the prodigal, hard-hearted, cold-hearted, indifferent, how God encountered her in the middle of the night and converted her from that. That's important because we're dealing with our prodigals who have that heart, that cold-hearted hardness toward us. They don't want, they're resisting God. They're running away from God. They're hearing God, but they repeatedly say no to God. So that's going to be very, very powerful. Listen to it one way, either live or on the recording. Listen to it one way or another. But that's coming up next Wednesday, September 30th, 9:30 a.m., and we're blessed to have that because every time I do one of these and I hear or read another testimonial or hear another one, I get something more from that in addition to just being encouraged. So, Lisa, thank you for encouraging all of us. Thank you for sharing your testimony. I want to share this too. The root meaning in Hebrew of testimony is do it again. So what Lisa has shared with us in her testimony of God bringing her back as a prodigal and her husband back as a prodigal is a prophecy, is prophesying to each one of our hearts and our situations that God will do the same thing with us and our marriages and our families, in our marriages. So having said that, thank you everyone for joining. I'm going to ask Lisa if she is willing to close us out in prayer, and then we're set for this conference call. Lisa, would you do us the honors in closing us out with prayer?
Yes. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to share my story with those callers on the call. Lord, I know that this journey is not easy, but it is so worth it. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you would give everyone in this call what they need, Lord, as they continue to stand, not just for their marriage, but for the salvation of their spouses. I pray that there was something said on this call, Lord, that will touch each and every one of us in a mighty way. Lord, I pray that you would just protect us, that you would keep us, Lord, and that you would be with us, Lord. This and many other blessings I ask in your name, Father. Amen.
Amen. Lisa, thank you very much. Thank you again. God bless you. God bless everyone on this call and on the recording later. Have a great weekend. God bless you all.
Thank you. Bye-bye.